Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, Rob O'Connor fills us in on what's coming up at this year's expanded Ag in Motion Farm Show, July 17th to 19th, northwest of Saskatoon.
We had more companies come to the show this year, so there's 50 more companies exhibiting.
Alexis Keeneland of Alberta Farmer Express looks at a campaign to have horses defined as livestock for tax purposes. And Marcus Farms' Bruce Burnett dodges tornadoes in Saskatchewan to bring us his views on the markets. That's all on Between the Rows, with this week's host, Dave Bedard.
Hi, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. July 17th is coming up right quick. That's the first day of the fourth annual installment of Western Canada's first outdoor farm expo. I'm talking, of course, about Ag in Motion, which runs July 17th to 19th, northwest of Saskatoon. Glacier Farm Media will be there, of course, taking in the live equipment demos, the on-site crop plots and exhibits, and it looks like our staff have got a lot more ground to cover as the show is upsizing for 2018. Rob O'Connor is the show director for Ag in Motion, and he's on the line to tell us more. Rob, hi, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
Now, I've been looking over the list of goings-on, and it's shaping up to be a bigger show, not just in activity, but also in its physical footprint. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we did purchase some additional land this year, so we bought another half section of land, and that's in response to the need for more demonstrations on the crop side and on the equipment side of the show. And then also, we had more companies come to the show this year, so there's 50 more companies exhibiting, so we just needed to add some more space for them as well.
50 more companies, you said, exhibiting on top of what you had before?
That's correct. So it's been really fun to watch this show grow as it matures. And yeah, we're up to about 455 or 460 companies at the show this year. Hmm.
On top of the sprayer demos and the tillage demos and the seed and ag chem company plots, it looks like some of those extra acres are going to see some late seeding next week too. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the really great demonstrations we have at the show this year is there will be 8 air seeders being demonstrated side by side. So this gives an opportunity for farmers to actually see the machines work, see how they place the seed and fertilizer into the soil. And then also there are test strips. Each machine was used to seed a test strip on the 1st of June. So farmers can actually see how the plants emerge and how they look from the machine when it was used earlier this spring.
Nice. Now, this year's innovations program has some interesting contenders coming out also, some established companies such as Morris and Seedmaster, along with new players such as the DOT Power Platform and the B-Secure Anti-Theft Tracking System. But you've also got the University of Saskatchewan coming out this year as a finalist. They don't seem to have a gadget, but they're bringing some interesting research to the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there's actually, as part of the innovations program, we're really proud that 36 entries were part of the show, and those 36 entries do range from some really cool concepts, like the one you mentioned from the U of S, which is a new system for using wheat that is contaminated with fusarium in chicken feed, and then also other really great inventions and innovations from the 4 different categories, which are equipment, livestock science, soil science, and agri-services.
Is the U of S actually going to be bringing out chickens to this show to show how this works?
I'm assuming in that case, they're just going to bring the information about the new technology. But U of S does have a fantastic demonstration plot at the show, as well as some forage plots, and they're actually bringing some professors from the university each day of the show to specifically talk about those forage plots.
Nice. Now, are there any other interesting exhibits coming up in the innovations program that you'd that have caught your eye?
Well, to be honest, there's 36 different innovations and a wide variety of them. And I think probably the best thing to do would be for people to come to the show and search all 36 out.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one major feature at the show this year. You've got some live entertainment lined up, and it's for a very worthy cause.
Yes, we're really proud this year to be hosting a charity fundraising event for STARS. and there was 1,250 tickets available, and they were able to sell all those tickets to help raise some money. There's also going to be a live auction of some amazing prizes, and as well as some silent auction items. I think there's about 200 of those as well. And to headline this event, Brett Kissel has agreed to come and perform for an hour and a half.
Excellent. Now, here you've lined up this big show that just keeps getting bigger. Are farmers responding in kind? What's the box office been like so far this year?
Yeah, we've been really happy with the success of the attendance of the show as well. When you think year one, we had 11,500 people attend, and then year two, we had 16,500 attend. And then this past year, we had 25,750 people attend. So we've definitely seen growth every year, and we're really looking forward to that number this year. In fact, we've already sold 1,200 tickets online, even a week before the show's even here.
So we'll be looking forward to the final box office numbers once the show is all wrapped up and done. Rob, thanks very much for your time. Break a leg and have a great show.
Well, thank you very much, and have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Rob O'Connor is the show director for Ag in Motion, which runs July 17th to 19th in the RM of Corman Park near Langham, Saskatchewan. That's on the south side of Highway 16 at Range Road 3083. You can get more information and show tickets at aginmotion.ca. You're listening to Between the Rows, and I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. If you ask a farmer whether he or she has any livestock, it seems like a no-brainer. Why, yes, Dave, I've got cattle, hogs, chickens, turkeys, sheep, goats, emus, alpacas, ducks, pheasants, geese, bison, and, of course, some horses. But come tax time, calling a horse livestock isn't so simple right now for horse breeders. Alexis Keeneland of Alberta Farmer Express recently spoke to people from the horse sector who want to see some clarification around how horses are classified. Hi, Alexis, and welcome back to Between the Rows.
Hi.
Now, where the CRA defines farming, horses seem to be right up there. Their list of farming activities includes work such as maintaining horses for racing and raising and exhibiting livestock. What's weird, though, is these federal tax rules don't give any kind of special definition to livestock other than the word's ordinary meaning. So from where I sit looking at the CRA website, it looks like horses would be covered where they consider livestock to be domestic animals bred or kept on a farm for use in commercial profit, or animals kept for domestic use but not as pets, especially on a farm or ranch. So if we start at the federal level, where are producers with horses running into problems?
Well, they're running into problems because the equine industry is not zero-rated for GST, which means the tax must be charged when horses or other equines are sold. Mm-hmm. And other livestock sectors, like in cattle and stuff, they get deductions, while horses don't.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in Alberta, of course, where you spoke to folks from the Horse Welfare Alliance of Canada about this issue. What are their worries at the provincial and municipal levels?
They're worried that, especially in British Columbia, farmers who have horses can lose farmer status because when the horses aren't considered livestock. And so then they'll lose deductions from some property taxes and some other considerations. And this could have a huge impact on the horse breeding industry. This has been a problem that's been going on for some time. I was told by Bill DeBars, who's the chair of the Horse Welfare Alliance of Canada. So equine people should step up to the plate and start doing stuff about it, he told me.
Mm-hmm. So if horses are more clearly and legally defined as livestock per se, what's the upside there for bona fide producers?
They just get better tax reasons, and also this ensures that provincial and municipal rules that are specific to the humane welfare and treatment of livestock apply to horses, donkeys, and mules.
Mm-hmm. Now, you touched on animal welfare there. What are the benefits for horses themselves if we go this route?
Well, they need to be classed under that to have the continuing welfare and treatment of livestock. So that's the benefit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they kind of fall under the welfare of pets, and that doesn't apply as well.
it doesn't apply as well in what kind of a way?
It doesn't make as much sense for them to be classed as pets. It's just there's different rules for pets as there are to livestock, and when they're classed as livestock, it results in more humane treatment for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've also still got a horse slaughter industry in this country supplying meat for export and what have you. What does the Horse Welfare Alliance want to see happen there?
Well, they want the same treatment. They want horses to be treated the same as the meat industry, because right now the producers of horse meat are not subject to the same treatment by the Canadian Revenue Agency and provincial and municipal governments in regards to production costs and deductibility.
Mm-hmm. Now, do the folks that you talk to seem optimistic that they might get this clarification on horses as livestock anytime in the near future?
They didn't really say that they were going to courts or anything, or they're just basically trying to get awareness out there and just trying to spread awareness of the campaign and get people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they are an industry group that's quite involved. They do go to some of the, they've worked with the code and care and handling for welfare of horses, and they do have a seat at the table, and they are advocating for the welfare of horses. So I would say that this is a very important issue and one that just kind of has been swept under the table.
Mm-hmm. Alexis, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Alexis Keeneland is a reporter for Alberta Farmer in Edmonton. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. In grain trading right now, we're at the time of year when the people who know what's happening at the field level are best able to make that information pay. Bruce Burnett, Director of Markets and Weather from MarketsFarm.com, is in the middle of a prairie crop tour right now to see the fields for himself. He'll be bringing that information to the Ag in Motion show, and he's been dodging tornadoes to come in and join us now. Hi, Bruce, and welcome back to Between the Rows.
It's good to be here.
Now, let's start with the week in markets. The slopes on the charts for corn and especially soybeans seem to be best suited for downhill skiing right now. Is there any sign that they found the bottom, or is there more for them to go?
Well, certainly in the first week in July, it looked like we had finally hit a bottom. The markets rallied significantly on the Friday. So we certainly were thinking that we're close to hitting this bottom. Unfortunately, since that happened, we've seen the markets take another downturn, and they're still testing lows. Certainly for soybeans, we're close to the bottom. The futures contracts are at over 9-year lows in terms of their value. So it's something that I think is indicative of some uncertainty in the market about these trade tariffs, but also probably a little bit overdone on that side. Another thing that's pressuring the markets lower, especially for corn and soybeans in the U.S., is the condition of the crops in the Corn Belt. 75% of the corn crops in good to excellent condition, 71% of the soybean crops. So add that to the trade uncertainties, and you get pressure on these markets here as we move through a fairly seasonally weak period.
Now, how has canola responded to this activity? It doesn't seem to be taking all its cues from soybeans, does it?
Certainly not. And in fact, canola is still at relatively high levels when you look at it in relation to soybeans historically. The reason for this is back to those trade issues again. One of the feelings of the market is that that canola will be one of the replacement oil seeds that China will be seeking. And certainly we've been hearing that business has been done as well for new crop canola. So if you look at that perspective, the valuation of canola has held up quite a bit better than it has for soybeans.
Mm-hmm. What about wheat futures? What can you tell us about that right now?
Oh, well, again, wheat futures have been hitting bottoms here. Wheat is not necessarily the crop that comes to mind in terms of impact on these trade issues, but it certainly has followed corn and soybeans lower. The other thing with the soybean or with the corn with the wheat market, is that we are in a harvest period right now for the U.S. winter wheat crops. The harvest is coming off, so we are seeing some harvest pressure. I would anticipate, though, that we are certainly for the wheat market in the process of forming lows, and we should start to see some improvement in prices here as that U.S. harvest winds down. The other factors that are coming into the market are the hot and dry conditions we're still seeing in Europe and Russia. That's causing some market concerns, and crop estimates are being lowered from those parts of the world, which should also help support prices here as we move through the rest of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's change gears for a minute and talk about your crop tour. You'll be doing presentations on Western Canada crop prospects every day at the Ag in Motion show. So first off, where have we found you this morning? Where are you right now?
I'm in Swift Current, Saskatchewan right now, getting ready to head out on day three of the crop tour. We'll hit southern Alberta, and then I'll have completed most of the southern prairies in terms of looking at it, and start move northward in Alberta and try to cover the rest of the prairies here before the Ag in Motion show.
Now, we weren't kidding off the top when we said that you were dodging tornadoes. You've seen some funnel cloud activity out there?
Yeah, certainly there's been some storms roaming around here in southern Saskatchewan. There were a couple of tornadoes reported yesterday. We have probably the types of conditions today that we'll see some more severe weather develop. Whether we see tornadoes or not depends a bit on how things evolve here. But with the hot temperatures that we've had and temperatures have been getting into the low to mid 30s here, that's created a lot of daytime heating and helped spawn these storms.
Yikes. Now, without too many spoilers, what have you been seeing in the fields so far on your tour compared to last year?
Well, I think what we can say so far from the tour, and again, we're only about a third of the way through it, is that some of the areas last year that were devastated with drought, the crops are in better shape. But I would say overall condition of the crops from Manitoba through into southwestern Saskatchewan is still being challenged here by the dry conditions and hot weather. Yesterday, it was quite evident in some fields, especially the lighter soils, where you were seeing crop stress to both wheat, canola, and other plants. So certainly, we're seeing some stressful conditions out there, and we need to see not only some rains here, but heat to let off for us here in the coming weeks in order to help maintain what current yield potential is out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, skipping ahead to your presentation next week at Ag in Motion, if I'm a farmer coming to the show, what's going to be in your presentation for me? Again, without too many spoilers.
Well, certainly I'll be able to cover some areas where farmers haven't probably been driving maybe compare notes with what I've been seeing on their trip into the show. The other thing is we'll be looking at in terms of the yield prospects, and at the middle of the presentation, we're going to also have a big surprise from Weather Farm Markets Farm, surprise announcement. So there's a lot of things here at the show that you can see, but certainly drop by and see our presentation.
Okay, and lastly, I know you've got to get back out on the road, and we really appreciate you taking the time, but I can't let you get away without talking a little more about China's response to Donald Trump's tariffs. There's been some fear and uncertainty leading up to this week. As you suggested before there, that's a bit of an understatement. But now that the tariffs on U.S. soybeans have arrived, what more can they do to oilseeds from our perspective?
I think it's important to step back a little bit from this situation. As I said, I think the oilseed markets in general have certainly overdone this move to the downside quite a bit. The trade now is going to be trying to figure out how this is going to work out with U.S. soybean harvest coming on and how that these tariffs are going to impact trade. I think the thing to remember is that China could install some further restrictions on soybean imports from the U.S., but they would be hurting their own economy doing that. So I would think that they'll be quite prudent about any further actions in the oilseed market. The other thing to keep in mind is that the total soybean supply and demand picture really doesn't change with these tariffs. We're still looking at declining stocks year on year, and a lot is going to now hinge on how big that South American production can be. But that's still 6-7 months away before we start to see South American soybeans re-enter the marketplace. So there's still a lot of time here yet for the markets to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, thanks again for your time and safe travels.
Thanks a lot.
Bruce Burnett is Director of Markets and Weather for MarketsFarm.com. He'll be on the Eberhardt stage at 11 a.m. each day during Ag in Motion. That's all for this week on Between the Rows, but we'll be back again in a week's time with more from Ag in Motion and from Glacier Farm Media's network of publications. I'm your host, Dave Bedard.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.